Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, good to be with you in studio. We actually want to practice something that you preached for us on Sunday morning. You asked a really important question in Sunday morning sermon, where do I start?
Yeah, what we were talking about was the important topic of Bible study, how you look at your Bible. The Bible is the bridge between us and God. It is the foundation of our faith. And we preachers often just say, study your Bible. And for a lot of people, they don't know what that means. Does it mean I simply read it or what? And it is my position that the Bible is a book that's different than any other book we will ever own. It is a divine book by God. And so the way we approach it must be differently than anything else that we ever read. We can skim read. We can take fast reading courses. We can do all kinds of stuff. But Jesus said in Matthew 4, verse 4, a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every single word is important. And so what we did in that lesson is we established three steps, as you could call them, that helps us in our Bible study. The first step is observation, to see. When you read a text of God's word, use your eyes, look at the words, look at how they flow, and look at the tenses and all the pronouns and things such as that. And you'll see things. You'll see words that are repeated. You'll learn a lot by just observing. The second word was interpretation, to get the understanding. That's one thing to see it, but if you don't know what you are seeing, it won't help you. So you need to understand it. And there's some basic principles. God helps us with that. Just basically let God speak for us through the scriptures. Sometimes scriptures will just interpret scriptures. And then the third aspect was application. What does all this mean to me? And this is really the most important part. It's one thing to know the Bible, to read the Bible, but if it doesn't change me, what good is that? Observation, interpretation, application. Three simple words to help us as we think about the Word of God.
All right. So it's Wednesday. It is This Week at Charlestown Road Day on our podcast feed. And we spend this particular episode each week trying to think through, maybe dig a little deeper, get our audience to think a little more deeply, allow the seed of what we talked about on Sunday to sink into our hearts. I figured today we would practice what we preach. And so my challenge to you just before we hit the record button was, why don't we illustrate exactly what you were talking about on Sunday using one of yesterday's Bible readings. We've got a daily Bible reading plan here at Charlestown Road. You can see that every single month at charlestownroad.org, our website. One of yesterday's readings was Genesis chapter 6. A lot of us have a lot of momentum in our daily Bible reading. We just restarted at the very beginning of the Bible, and yesterday, Genesis 6. What I would like to do, Roger, as long as you're game for it, is just start reading. I'll be the narrator, if you will, and I'll just start reading, and I want you to stop me. Feel free to interrupt me whenever you, number one, see something. Show us what you mean by observing, or number two, understand. What is it that this passage of Scripture is helping you to understand about God or the world or ourselves? And then after we get through the chapter, I'm just going to ask you that question you've said is most important of all. What do I do with this? Sound like a plan?
Sounds great.
I'm putting you on the spot here. So Genesis chapter 6, like I said, you feel free to interrupt me. Now it came about, verse 1, when men began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose.
Let's stop.
All right.
right there in verse 2. Do you notice that contrast? Sons of God, daughters of men. There's a contrast there. And as we would flip to the interpretation mode of that, I think he's talking about the righteous and the unrighteous. And so we notice immediately he wasn't just talking about people in general. He was talking about a distinction here. Some of them were sons of God. Some of them were daughters of men.
Yeah, and what stands out to me, I'm cheating a little here, is the narrator. But that little last phrase, whomever they chose, choosing in Genesis, when it's a foolish choice, causes a whole lot of trouble, right? So let's keep reading. Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown.
And we need to stop there, because we see that word Nephilim, and we think, well, what is that? Have I ever met one of those guys before? And that is a word that when you come across that, you see that, and you don't know what that is. So you'd have to look it up. And it deals with giants. It deals with big people. And this was a unique race that was on the earth at that time. And so, again, that's part of our Bible study. We don't skip over words we don't understand. We pause. We look at them. Sometimes your Bibles will have little footnotes out on the side, and they'll help you understand what some of these words are. But you will never get to the interpretation, the understanding mode, if you don't understand the words.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me how often, as I'm trying to help people grow in using their Bible, how often people don't realize little cross references. In this particular edition of the Bible that I'm reading out of, right beside the word Nephilim is a little bitty A. And that is encouraging me to go over into that side column or the center column, wherever you have cross references and footnotes. And I see there, by Genesis 6 verse 4, a corresponding little A pointing me to Numbers 13 verse 33. And I would do well in Bible study, right? That's what your sermon was all about. Not just reading, but Bible study, to follow that little trail. It takes me into that time in Israel's life when spies come back to Moses and they report, well, it's a beautiful lamb, but there we saw the Nephilim, and we became like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. It makes a connection to us into Old Testament history. That was a good stop. So, verse 5, let's keep reading. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart.
Okay, let's stop there now. Mm-hmm. Okay, two things come out of that. We see, first of all, these action words. The Lord saw, the Lord was grieved, the Lord was sorry. So what we see from this passage is, first of all, the Lord sees what we do. Mm-hmm. And then we see from this passage what we do, God responds to. The sin of these people made God disappointed. It made God sorry. It even grieved God. So there's some of our application points right there. To think, well, I can do whatever I want, and it doesn't hurt anybody. Well, if it's wrong things, it's hurting God. It caused God sorrow because of what these people were doing.
Genesis 6 has helped me understand something about the heart of my Father in heaven. That's powerful. Verse 7, the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them.
And right there we would think about the consequences of our sins, and that God is a God also of love, but also of wrath and punishment. And we cannot just say, well, it doesn't matter. It mattered to God. And this has so upset God that he's going to destroy everybody on the earth.
verse 8. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord.
Which tells us that Noah was making different choices.
Yeah.
Noah wasn't doing what everyone else was doing. Noah was considered righteous. If we flip over to Hebrews 11, it would tell us that Noah was doing these things by faith. And so by faith, he prepared the ark, as we'll see in just a moment. And so it is possible in a very wicked, sinful world that I don't have to be part of that. Noah is an illustration of that.
Powerful, powerful applications just from reading our Bible. Verse 9, these are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God.
Great statement there. We'll remember just chapter before, in chapter 5, it talked about Enoch walked with God. And this deals with their choices again, and their relationship with God, putting God first. So Noah found favor, Noah was blameless, Noah walked with God. What a contrast to everyone else around him in his world.
Verse 10, Noah became the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth.
And again, as we, you know, here we are just six chapters from the beginning. And just in six chapters, this is not the way man was created. It's not the way God made man. But without God in their lives, they keep getting farther and farther away from God. Every thought, every action was wrong. And that's what happens when God is not in our lives.
Verse 13, then God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. Its breadth, 50 cubits. And its height, 30 cubits.
Okay, and we'll stop there for a minute.
Yeah.
And what this shows us is that as God was going to destroy the world, he's also going to save. He's going to save Noah. And he didn't tell Noah just, you know, you're on your own. He provides the salvation. What a mirror to what we find in the New Testament with Jesus Christ. God saves us from our sins. He sent Jesus Christ. And so here, God's going to save Noah. Now, he doesn't have Noah to do nothing, just sit down on this rock and just watch all this. He gives Noah something to do as he does us something to do. And so he tells him to make this ark, make this boat. He tells them in verse 15 the length of it, the height and the width, it's going to be so many cubits. And right there we stop again. We look in our footnotes. A cubit is about 18 to 20 inches long. So we can get out a calculator, we can do a little multiplying, and we can see just how large this boat was.
This is a big boat.
It's massive inside. And what God is doing here is he's showing Noah a pattern. This is what I want you to do. This is going to be the vessel that saves you. And it shows not only the wrath of God, but the grace of God in all these things.
Verse 16, you shall make a window for the ark and finish it to a cubit from the top and set the door of the ark in the side of it. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. Go ahead.
Again, just emphasizing how large this vessel is going to be and the details God's given them. He's telling them about a door, he's telling about a window, it's about different levels within this. And so this is not something that was Noah's idea. This was all God's idea. And we see that God was giving Noah the plans, and Noah would have to be the one who built this thing.
We read in Scripture off and on about God providing a pattern and expecting people to follow the pattern. Here's an early, early echo of that. In verse 17, behold, I am bringing the flood of water upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life. From under heaven, everything that is on the earth shall perish. But I will establish my covenant with you. And you shall enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you.
And the idea of a covenant is a promise. God's going to make a promise here with Noah, and God's going to keep his promise. And his covenant, again, is a mirror to what we find in the New Testament, as we have a covenant with Jesus Christ. God saves us, and there's a relationship, and there's responsibility, and there's obligations. But this is all kind of the early image of this, as we see this back in the flood here.
Verse 19, and of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, and of the animals after their kind, of every creeping thing out of the ground after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive.
And you know, we think back to the first page of the Bible when God made animals after their kind. Now, I don't think in this he brought every breed of dog, okay? Every breed of cat, okay? From the cat family comes all kinds of animals. From the dog family comes all kinds of animals. From the bear family, from the deer family, you know? So there's lots of different kind of animals. Because people have wondered through the years, how in the world does he get every single animal? He didn't. He brought types, we could say, or kinds. From that later on, there would be what we have today.
It's fascinating to me there at the end of verse 20, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. I think for a long time growing up, I had in my mind that, you know, Noah had to go on this grand expedition trying to catch everything. God, the same God that's going to make the heavens open up and flood to the earth, makes these animals come to Noah that Noah might keep them alive. Verse 21, finally, as for you, take for yourself some of all food which is edible, and gather it to yourself, and it shall be for food for you and for them. Thus Noah did according to all that God had commanded him, so he did.
So Noah had a lot to do. He had to build that ark. He had to gather food for he and his family. But this chapter ends with this wonderful expression that Noah did all that God commanded him. This would be repeated in chapter 7, verse 5. This is where we start seeing some repeats in our Bible. Noah did according to all that God had commanded him. It is possible to do what God says. It is possible to please God. And those are some of the things that kind of come out of that as we see that. But what a wonderful little exercise. Because we just take a section of scriptures, we walk through it. Now, as you walk through it, you may find some things that we didn't see. And it's not like, you know, somebody has better eyes than someone else. We're just reading it carefully. We're looking at things. Different things jump out to us. Different things touch our hearts. And as you do that, you see the power of scriptures as we learn to see and interpret and then to make application from this.
Roger, I'm sure that you have had the same experience that I have. One of the most remarkable things is how many times have you read Genesis 6, for instance, but every time you read it, you see something a little new, a little different.
That happens almost every time. And what it is you're just taking your time. You're taking your time. You're looking at it. You're looking at who's speaking. You're looking at the reactions. And through all of that, you're trying to put yourself in that same story so you could learn some things and be better because of that.
All right. So there are some things that we've seen, some things even that we have come to understand about how humanity got in this mess, the heart of God, the faith of Noah. Let's end where you ended your sermon. Okay, I have read carefully Genesis chapter 6. What do I, on an ordinary Wednesday in 2021, do with this?
See, it's so easy just to discount this. Okay, this is Noah and the ark and the flood. Not flooding. I'm not building the ark, so I can just bypass this passage. And in doing that, you miss great, great lessons. We see that what you do, what I do, impacts God. Our sins are seen by God. Our sins touch God. And so that is something that we need to see. It may be something we in our mind say, well, it's no big deal. You know, I just told a little lie to my boss. It's no big deal. Well, if it's a violation of God's word, it is a big deal because it means something to God. We also see in this passage that you and I do not have to be molded by the world. We can be transformed, as the Romans were told. We can be different than the world. Around us may be corruption and violence, and we're seeing that on the news. But we can be righteous. by the choices we make and by doing what God wants us to do. And then I think that as this chapter ends, you and I can do all that God wants us to do. Now, you think about this job that Noah had to do. I mean, this is not Legos. You just snap them together. He had to saw woods. He had a hammer. He had to do all this. It took a long, long time to do this, but he did that. Sometimes what God tells us to do is hard. Sometimes it's not what we want to do. And sometimes it involves a lot of energy on our part. But Noah did it all. We can do it all too, ourselves.
Where do I start? What a powerful little exercise. Great words, Roger, that you shared with us on Sunday. If you haven't watched or listened to that sermon, I would definitely encourage you to do that. Access that at charlestownroad.org. Three words to bring with you when you open God's book, His Revelation to Mankind. Observe. What do you see? Every single word is important. Number two, interpret. Understand. What is God communicating through these words, and apply. What am I going to do with this? Roger, thanks for walking through that exercise with me. I think it's one thing to share tips like that, but when we can illustrate for people exactly what we're talking about, I think that is next level help, and I appreciate that. We've got more opportunities, of course, over the next few days to continue to see and grow in our understanding and apply. We're looking forward to this evening, 7 o'clock p.m. We're continuing our Wednesday evening summer series, and we're honored to have Brother Paul Earnhardt with us from across the river in Louisville, Kentucky. He's going to continue our series, How Firm a Foundation, and he's going to talk about this line in the hymn, Even Down to Old Age. Roger, I know you're looking forward to having Brother Paul here.
He is just one of the heroes of our generation, and I think it'd be just good for all of us to tune in if we can, just to listen. Great things he's going to have to remind us of as we journey with God.
Lord willing, this Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., I've got the privilege of preaching, and I want to talk with you about prayer. And the place of prayer in our lives, the power of prayer. It's been interesting to me in talking with different members of our congregation and even members of my own family. There's a word that I have heard used several times in the last month or so to describe our times, this season we're in, and that word is heavy. There are a lot of heavy things going on in the world around us, troubling things, confusing things, scary things. There are a lot of things going on in the life of our church family, a lot of things going on in our individual lives that are heavy. Well, what can we do when we are living in heavy times? One of the things unmistakably God tells us to do is to pray. And so I hope this Sunday morning to jumpstart a powerful week of prayer in your life. We're going to talk about what prayer is and a little bit about how to pray and even some suggestions about what to pray for and about this next week. And so we would love to have you in person or tune in online at charlestownroad.org this Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. A lot of opportunities to grow and be encouraged. Roger, thanks for joining me today. Thanks to all of you for listening to this week at Charlestown Road. We're looking forward to tonight. We hope to see you at 7 o'clock p.m. We're already looking forward to Sunday, the best day of the week, and we would love to have you come and grow with us.